I want to thank you with all my heart for those that have prayed and fasted with us and for these 3 days, and those who are just here tonight just to pray with us. Thank God for you. And you can sense in your heart tonight, can't you, the victory that Jesus Christ is giving us. As we were worshiping, there was a thought came into my heart. How many here are in your 20s and you're broke? Can I see your hands? No, for real. All right. I want to speak tonight to people who love God, young people who love God, and there's a stirring in your heart. You can't fully explain it, but you believe that God wants to do something through you. It's something you haven't thought about for your own. You've had a plan, but it seems like your plan is fading. And there's another plan, but it's still a bit mystical. You still don't get it. You don't understand it. But somehow you know there's a stirring inside that God has something more for your life. This is a generation that needs young preachers of the gospel, men and women who are willing to stand up . I believe, as Brother Vest said the other night, that some of the greatest evangelists of tomorrow are right here tonight, standing among us. I believe that. We have a Bible school. The reason I asked you if you're broke, we have a Bible school in Pennsylvania called Summit. It's summitpa.org, and we're offering 25 full-ride scholarships for first 10 young people who say, God, I feel God stirring my heart. I feel He wants to do something through me, but how do I do this? How do I get trained? How do I know what truth is? How do I learn to understand who I am in Jesus Christ? All of these things are taught. There's a presence of God at that school that is undeniable. The school is producing preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to challenge 25 young people. And we're not trying to pack a school. This is bigger than that. This is not about that. This is about 25 young people who just say, I'm broke. I have no hope of going to Bible school. But if this is an offer that God is making to my heart tonight, I'm going on that website and I'm going to fill out an application. Just remember, summitpa, as in Pennsylvania.org. There's a fund called the Times Square Church Scholarship Fund. It is a full ride for 2 years. All of the credits from this school transfer into at least 12 other colleges now. You will be trained. You will be taught. You will learn to seek God. You will learn to hear His voice. You will learn to preach the gospel. I fully intend to be more involved in that school. And I want to do a class just for people who feel called to preach the gospel. And we're going to talk about everything from prayer to ethics. All of it. We're going to talk about all of it. I believe God with all my heart. We have to have preachers now. We have to have Spirit-filled preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to be trained. There's got to be teaching. You've got to be grounded, or you're going to be led by every wind of doctrine out there. You've got to learn who you are in Christ. What are the basics of the faith that we believe and live and teach in the kingdom of God? We're praying for youth. We're praying for a youth revival. Well, that's what it's all about. After you graduate from your 2 years, there are internship opportunities all over the world now. In Chicago, in Florida, in Pennsylvania, in New York City, you name it. There are places everywhere. Ireland, that are going to that school and saying, the quality of young person that you're producing, we want. We want them in our churches. There's the district superintendent, I believe he's called, of the Assemblies of God in Florida, last year went to the graduation and he said, I will hire everybody who graduates from this school who wants a job. So touched with the quality. Hallelujah. Now I want to pray for you. Give me a moment. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for every young person in this sanctuary tonight and those that are listening on the internet. Lord, this is a desperate hour, and it requires men and women of God again to rise up. It requires preachers and teachers, publishers and defenders of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God Almighty, I pray that tonight there could be Esthers here and Daniels. Lord, there could be young men and women who say, I'll go Lord, I feel your stirring in my heart. I feel the call to preach the gospel. And I was wondering, how is this going to happen? But tonight you're answering my prayer. You've given me the first step to the rest of my life. And Lord, I'm going to step out of the crowd and I'm going to believe you for an anointing. I'm going to believe you, God, that the fivefold ministry still exists in the body of Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe you, Lord, that in the simplicity of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, men and women are transformed, societies are changed, cities are brought to their knees. Lord God, I'm going to believe you for the future. Lord, I thank you tonight with all my heart. I thank you for the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you as Jesus did, Father, that these things are hidden from the wise and prudent in their own sight, and they are revealed unto babes. I thank you, Lord, that what you did in the first century, you are well able to do again in our generation. I bless your heart for this, O God. Thank you for it, Lord. God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty. We ask you to stretch your hand into New York City, into the five boroughs. Lord, go to the poorest sections of the city and bring out the young men and women who will stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring them out. Bring them here, Lord. Bring them here Friday night. For the next 4 weeks, bring them here. Bring them here, God. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Speak to their hearts and draw them out, oh God. And teach us how to teach them that they may rise up in the strength of Christ. Lord, we're not willing to let this generation die. We're not going to sit on the sidelines and watch our children starve in our streets any longer. We are going to stand as the armor of Almighty God in the strength of God. Glory to the name of Jesus. Glory to the holy name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to your name in New York City. Glory to your name on Broadway. Glory to your name on Wall Street. Glory to your name in Staten Island. Glory to your name in the Bronx. Glory to your name on Long Island. Glory to your name in Queens. Glory to your name in Brooklyn. Glory to your name in Manhattan. Glory to your name in the theater district. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan, we stand against you in the name of Jesus. You can't have our children. We stand against you as Moses stood against Pharaoh. We stand against you, your power, your weaponry, your devices, your arrogance and your pride. We stand against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not have this generation. You will not steal them or kill them or destroy them. Glory to God. Thank you for revival. An awakening, Lord, in our churches. Thank you, God. Thank you for storefront churches in New York City that will just ignite with the power of God. Thank you for prayer meetings that will come alive. Thank you for pastors that will be quickened by the Holy Spirit again. Thank you, God, for your word being preached again in this city. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to the Lamb of God! Hallelujah! We have what we ask for. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it, God, with every fiber in my being. We have what we ask for. Now teach us how to teach those who come to you. Give us the grace to make disciples. And help us, God Almighty, to be dedicated to your work. Father, I thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, we're going to hear from Pastor Patrick, youth pastor here at Times Square Church, and he's going to lead us in prayer. Then after communion, we'll hear from Dr. Lamar Vest, the newest member of our preaching team here at Times Square Church, and then he will lead us in prayer. I don't know about you, but I've come to pray. I've come to believe God. I just feel like kicking the devil right in the shins tonight. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. We've got the power to fight back, folks. We don't have to lay on the sidelines any longer. We've got the power to fight back. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor Patrick, please.
Praise God. What a time to be alive. Amen. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 12. Just have a thought that I haven't been able to get away from over the past 2 weeks. If I were to entitle this thought, I would entitle it, "The God Who Helps." Another subtitle would be, "He Can Work It Out." Hallelujah. This psalm is believed to have been written by David while Saul was persecuting him, while he was running for his life. He was a young man. It was a time when good men were becoming more and more rare. There were less and less faithful, loyal people around. People would say one thing, but something else was in their heart. Many would just outright lie. The leadership of the nation had taken a position of opposition against that which was godly. Men were full of pride, thumbing their nose at God. It was a time of senseless violence, a time when evil was praised throughout the land, a truly dark and difficult time. It was very much like the day you and I live in today when I think about the shootings recently, for example, in Connecticut, and gang violence here in the city and in other places in the U.S. like Chicago. I think of the lying that takes place by government officials and even professional athletes that lie and say, I didn't have that affair, or I never touched those performance-enhancing drugs, but yet when they stand before the courts, they have to give an account and confess the truth. I think of the billboards declaring that God is a myth. Our day is not much different than the day the psalmist lived in. But here in this psalm, we see a cry beginning to arise from his heart. And David begins to voice his complaint before the Lord. We see in Psalm 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, "Help, Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing." I'm reading from the New Living Translation. "The faithful vanish from the earth." He says, "Neighbors lie to each other, speaking with flattering lips and deceitful hearts." David's cry was, "Help, Lord." Have you ever made that cry? Have you ever voiced that cry? Sometimes I find that's the only thing that can come out, and it comes from my innermost being, from my gut. If you were to ask my wife, sometimes I'll just under my breath say, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." That was the psalmist's cry. Psalmist David, he prayed, "Lord, help." This word "help" means to save. It means to liberate, to be liberated. It means to save in battle. "God, I find myself in a struggle." You know, the scripture says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, against spiritual forces in the heavenly places. It speaks of the thought of being delivered. It speaks of being saved from moral troubles. I think of those who might have cheated on their taxes for years, and now you find yourself a Christian and you've come under conviction and you say, "God, I don't want to do this anymore. Would you help me?" Or those who've been stealing on their jobs and know they can't live this way anymore, And their cry is, God, help me. Help me to stand for you. Help me to make a difference. It speaks of those who cry out to God and say, Lord, would you give me victory in this area? I don't want to click on that website anymore. I don't want to watch those pornographic images anymore. God, I don't want to punch the walls and flail in anger at my children and holler at my wife and threaten her anymore. God, would you help me? The psalmist cried out for help. He said, help, Lord. And the name for the Lord here means Jehovah, the existing one. I think of how it says in Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hallelujah. That he is alive, as we sang tonight. He's a self-existent one. In other words, you don't add or can't add anything to him. He absolutely needs nothing, but he can make something out of nothing. Hallelujah. He is the God that can call things into existence. He speaks that which is not into existence. He calls things that are not as if they were, because he has the power and the authority to do so. He is the eternal God, the one true God. Hallelujah. Help, Lord. That was the psalmist's cry. It's a prayer, a very short prayer, that can be voiced in absolutely any situation that you and I might find ourselves in. I think of how we've been praying in accordance with God's word during this fast. The scriptures tell us in Lamentations 2:19, rise during the night and cry out. Pour out your hearts like water to the Lord. Lift your hands to him in prayer, pleading for your children. For every street they faint with hunger. For in every street they faint with hunger. I think of the statistics that tell us 50% of college students will consider suicide. Think about it, 50% of college students. So if you see two college students walking down the streets, the chances are that one of them has considered suicide. We've been crying out, we've been praying and believing the Lord for the youth of our city. Why? Because the scriptures tell us to come boldly to his throne of grace for help. Hallelujah. The scriptures tell us he is a very present help in time of need. We serve a God who is willing to do something about our situation if we will just simply ask him. Hallelujah. I think of one of our high school workers who invited two of her nieces on the 18th to the cross and the switchblade. And the nieces were so touched that they came back on the 25th of January and brought six of their friends. Hallelujah. By the end of the production, one of the nieces was crying uncontrollably. By the time we gave the second altar call to turn to your neighbor and to ask them if they wanted to go to the altar, the niece got up along with all the other nieces and all their friends and came to Christ that night. Hallelujah. Folks, we serve a God who is ready to help, who is ready to intervene. I think of a ministry worker who has a young adult daughter that is an actress and has been away from the Lord. He's been praying for her for several years. And this past Friday, she came to the production and went to the altar. He said by the time they got home, he could hear and see a visible touch of God on her. Hallelujah. And he knew at that moment, for the first time, that there was real hope and that his daughter was going to live for God. Praise Jesus. I think of a young man that was once a Christian and backslid into Hinduism and rededicated his life to the Lord at the Cross and the Switchblade production. I think of another young man who was sitting in the annex and cried through the production. And by the end, cried out, God, would you help me? God, would you help me? And altar workers were able to minister to him. Hallelujah. David prays, asking the Lord to do something. Lord, would you intervene in this situation? We see in verse 3 and 4, He begins to say, Lord, cut off their flattering lips. May the Lord cut off their flattering lips and silence their boastful tongues. They say, we will lie to our heart's content. Our lips are our own. Who can stop us? Basically, he was saying, Lord, do something. Bring an end to this parade of evil. God, would you intervene? Would you do something? Stop this flood of evil. Stop what's happening in the life of my loved one, my son or my daughter who's away from you. Lord, would you bring back my backslidden husband? David could see the moral slide that was in the nation around him. He could see the grief that it was producing in the society. But David had lived for the honor and was living for the honor and glory of God. He had a totally different value system. And he didn't want to be infected by it, by what was taking place around him, but wanted to make a difference. Again, he didn't want to be infected by what was happening around him, but wanted to make a difference. You can and will make a difference through prayer, by believing God. Would you give him praise tonight? In verse 5, we see the Lord's response to David's cry. The Lord replies, I have seen violence done to the helpless. I have heard the groans of the poor. Now I will rise up to rescue them as they have longed for me to do. Hallelujah. I will rise up and rescue them. The Lord loves to hear when we pray. He loves to hear our voices. The Lord would go on to use David for his glory. He made a tremendous difference for the kingdom of God and the cause of Christ. As a matter of fact, Christ came through his loins. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and not one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. I will not cast him out. When you and I come to God, He's not going to cast us away. He's not going to turn a deaf ear to us when we pray. My wife and I, last night we were talking about the book of Judges and how many times the people went astray from the Lord. And how many times do you read, no matter how many times they went away, they would cry to the Lord and he couldn't refuse their cry. It's just amazing to me. You would see the people did evil in the sight of the Lord. They turned from the Lord, and all of a sudden their enemies would begin to prevail against them. But then when they cried to the Lord sent a deliverer. And then again they turned away from the Lord. They forgot his goodness. And then they were afflicted again. And then they would cry to the Lord, and the Lord would hear their cry and raise up a deliverer, and constantly over and over. It's because he can't resist that cry. He just looks at us, you know, and he just looks at us, and he just. He longs for you and I just to come into his presence and to voice our cry, to make our petitions known. And then all of us, he just can't contain himself. He just has to intervene. What an awesome God we serve. The Lord answered David's cry. Notice in verse 6 and 7, the faith that David exercised in God. It says, the Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. Seven speaks of perfection. It speaks of completeness. Therefore, we know you will protect the oppressed, preserving them forever from this lying generation. Notice what he says. Therefore, Lord, we know you. Hallelujah. We know you. This shows us that David knew that God's word had been tested over and over in the fires of affliction and is completely true, can be trusted. He had heard the testimonies. He knew from the past victories of others that had gone before him that God could be trusted, that God could be trusted. In the NLT, it says, we know you. In the King James, it says, thou shalt keep. Hallelujah. David had seen God in action from a very early age. The Lord had come to him and renewed and revealed himself to David and made him some incredible promises. So David knew that from his experience in walking with the Lord, that the Lord could be trusted. It's important to remind yourself of what the Lord has promised. The enemy will lie to you all the time. Hath God said? It's the same lie from the very beginning. Like Genesis chapter 3. Hath the Lord said? He will come and call into question God's promise to you. But the Lord will be your glory and the lifter of your head. Hallelujah. If you meditate and ponder and cling to his word, he will remind you of his faithfulness. Hallelujah. David was saying that the Lord can be trusted, that our God can be trusted. Silver, I think of silver and how it's a precious metal. God's word is precious, and you and I need to cling to his promises. As Pastor David used to say, bind him to his word. Notice what he says here in verse 8, even though the wicked strut about and evil is praised throughout the land. David says God can be trusted in verse 6 and 7 because we know who he is. Psalm 120. Hallelujah. David found himself again in the midst of trouble. But just verse 1 and 2, look what he cries. I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him. And what? He answered me. He answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars, from all deceitful people. The Lord took David through every test and trial, and he will do no less for you. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will do it. Today, my question in closing is, will you just trust him? Will you trust him with whatever situation you might find yourself in tonight? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you tonight that you are indeed a God who is willing to help us. And no matter what situation we find ourselves in, as we've seen from your word tonight, I thank you that you're a God that is still able, Lord, to work miracles. I thank you that you are alive, that you are on the throne, and nothing is impossible for you. I thank you that you care so much about us that you've taken the time to number even every hair on our head. I thank you that your thoughts concerning us are more than the sand of the seashore. God, you love us, and you're well acquainted with all our ways. You're the God who knows because you are omniscient, you know all things, and you are the God who is there because you're present, you're omnipresent. God, we come to you tonight and we lift up every care, every concern, every need in this house, and we believe you and ask you to work a miracle tonight. I pray for those that need deliverance, those that need freedom. I pray for those tonight, God, that need you to lift them out of, Lord, depression, to lift them out of thoughts of suicide. Lord, those tonight that need freedom, I pray for freedom tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank you that your anointing still breaks every yoke. I thank you that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Tonight we believe you for freedom, and we proclaim freedom in this house to every captive. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, we come with an expectancy tonight in our hearts. And we're believing you, Lord, to answer our prayers. Because you, God, cannot turn a deaf ear to those that come to you. You said, he that hath made the ear, shall he not hear? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight we give you the highest praise, God, in advance. We give you the highest praise. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. Because you, Jesus, are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Give him the highest praise tonight. He can work it out, folks.
Hallelujah. Would you please stand together? I hear a lot of people talking about praying for the harvest. And all we have to do is just look outside this auditorium, and you're going to see that the harvest is ripe. And in your neighborhoods and wherever you go, you're going to see that there is a great harvest to be won to Jesus Christ. But I get a little puzzled when I hear people praying for the harvest, because I never remember anything in the Bible commanding us to pray for the harvest. But what I do remember is that we are told to pray to the Lord that he would send laborers into the harvest. Amen? And sometimes it becomes so detached when we start praying. It's like we love the world, but we can't find love for our neighbor. And what God is saying to us, I believe, in this time, is that it's not just enough for us to be concerned about the whole world. That's all right. We pray for that. But what we need to do is to pray for God to send laborers into the harvest. And I'm going to just in a few minutes to sort of bring you to you what I think God has been saying to the Times Square Church this weekend. But what I want you to do right now is I want you to pray. I want you to pray for God, the Lord of the harvest, to send laborers into the harvest. As I look back over what God has been speaking to us over this weekend, it seems confident, evident, I mean just absolutely essential, that we've got to have laborers to go into the neighborhoods, into the areas, to reach people for Jesus Christ. And what I believe right now is that there is a drug dealer standing on the street somewhere in Brooklyn that's soon going to be out of business, because the Lord is going to touch his heart and he's going to become a soul winner for Jesus. He's done it before and he's going to do it again. So right now, would you just lift your hands and let's pray. Lord, send laborers into the harvest. You know where they are, God. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of young men and women, and speak to those right here in this audience tonight, God, in this congregation. Those, Lord, who need to be at Summit, learning, training to go into the ministry. And I pray, God, that you would reach out to our sons and our daughters wherever they are, and let them feel the burden. Let them sense the need, God, to reach out to this world and to reach into the hood, reach into the family units, and reach into the projects, God, wherever they may be, that they may know that there is a God. And God, I pray that you would give us the power and the spirit and the anointing to be able to train them and to reach out to them when they do come in, so we can empower them by the word of God to go out and to be witnesses and laborers into the harvest. Lord, I pray that you will send laborers into the harvest. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, just give the Lord glory and praise, if you will. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And amen. You may be seated for a few moments. We're going to pray again. And what I'm going to do for the next few minutes is just to sort of encapsulate what I believe the Holy Spirit has been saying to us this weekend. The thing that I have come to clearly understand is that there is a generation up for grabs. And they're being reached out for right now. They're being reached out for in this city and all across this nation by evil forces that would bring this generation to them. But what I believe God is saying to us, as the pastor has said over and over again, it's time for us to draw a line and say, enough is enough. We are not going to let the devil steal our children. And the way the Holy Spirit started out on Sunday, and this three-day fast, what an incredible thing that a church would be so concerned about the youth that it would call a three-day fast. And there has been a deep moving of the Holy Spirit. I've sensed it in every session. And as Vicky and I have gone back to the apartment, we have sensed that the Holy Spirit is up to something incredible. And I just want to share with you that on Sunday morning when Pastor Carter preached the sermon about the widow of Nain and how Jesus stopped that funeral procession and reached out. I mean, my heart was just torn within me because weeks earlier, the Lord had already laid on my heart a message that we should be weeping for our children. And it almost seemed like the two messages fit together. In fact, I've had several people to say, did you and Pastor Carter get together and plan that? And I said, no, but we got our information from the same source. So that's all right. And what the Holy Spirit seemed to be saying to us on Sunday was that we've got to have that lamentation. Somebody's got to be concerned. Somebody's got to say, devil, we are not going to let you win in this battle. And I believe we drew that line on Sunday to say, enough is enough. And then when we came back to the service last night, I don't know when my heart has been as touched as it was last night as I listened to the heart and the soul of our pastor, who read from Exodus, the 32nd chapter. And I know he saw that I was lost in the word because he came over and said, do you have something to say? Well, I'm going to say it tonight, Pastor, because the Lord just laid on my heart when I saw the passion of the pastor. And the thing that he brought out to us last night was that we have to be able to pray to the Lord so much until God sees the passion. And whatever God had determined to do for Israel against them, Moses had prayed that God would turn his favor and give them favor again. But when I looked over into that 33rd chapter, I saw that Moses was saying, Lord, the first thing I want you to do is to show me your way. And that's the first thing we need to do. If we start out on this journey to reach this generation with another program, with just another idea, it's going to blow up in our face. We are not going to win this generation through cutesy ideas and through made-up plans. It's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit that reaches this generation. And so Moses prayed, show me your way, show me your plan. And then he said, show me your glory. And what I believe God is going to do through the efforts that we are beginning here with this reach out to the young people, he is going to show us his glory. And then we came back tonight, and Pastor Patrick talked to us about David. David, a man after God's own heart. A man who in desperation cried out for God to help him. But then today, interestingly enough, I was reading in Acts, the 13th chapter, and in verse 36. Let me read you this verse, because this is the epitaph of one of the greatest men who ever lived, David. A man who did more to please God and more to displease God probably than any man ever lived. He was a warrior. He was a conqueror. He was a mighty king. He was the writer of psalms. He was the singer of songs. But in saw in Acts 13 and 36, the Bible gives us his epitaph. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. Now, that's not much of an epitaph for a great, mighty man like David. I mean, all it says is that he ministered to his own generation, and when he had done that, he died and fell in corruption as his fathers. But when you look at that, what more and what greater could be said about a man or a woman than to say they ministered to their own generation? Now, I can take you to a lot of churches that are ministering to some past generation, and they are confused because their messages are not being understood. And then occasionally I'll go to a church where somebody says, we are 20 years ahead of our time. They are ministering to some future generation. And I say, happy is the man or the woman like David who can minister to our generation by the will of God. Now, the truth of the matter is, we may not particularly like this generation that God has put us in. I mean, this generation is radical. It is, it's no fear. Just the kind of generation that God can use for his glory and for his kingdom. I believe God is raising up a new generation to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we've been looking for ministers in all of the wrong places. We are now looking out there for those whom God is going to touch and whom God is going to call. Would you just give the Lord glory? Hallelujah. Wow. Does anybody believe or anybody doubt that God has placed us in the greatest harvest field ever? And so the question is, who is going to win this generation? I'll tell you who's going to win them. Whoever gets to them first with a message of hope. This is a generation that's reaching out for hope. And as I shared with you Sunday, Christians are the only ones who have any reason to hope. Anything else is just speculation. Vicki and I have been attending Times Square on and off for the last several years as we were in New York City. And I never dreamed that God would bring us to a place like this. But I believe that God has brought us together for this time. My passion is to see young men and women called into the ministry. And Pastor, as I look back over my ministry, the one thing that God has blessed me with, there have been more men and women called to preach under my ministry than I can ever count. They're out there by the dozens. And just this afternoon as I was praying, I was saying, God, thank you for giving me one more opportunity to reach out to young men and women who are going to take up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ and are going to share it with this world. Praise God forevermore. And you know, this church could just be satisfied. You could sit back. You could enjoy. You have everything imaginable, a fine facility. Every time the doors are open, the building is filled. So why is it that you are so concerned about others? I'll tell you why it is, because God put you here for that reason. God put you here. I get so disgusted when I see stuffed churches in the middle of a starving world. It's time now we reach out to others to bring them in that they can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. This is an essential part of God's character, extending mercy to those who don't deserve mercy. You know, I hear some people who seem like they are angry at this generation. Now, I know all of us are not satisfied with a lot of things that we're seeing, but please for God's sake, let's not show anger toward the sinner. It's not sinners that I'm angry at. It's the devil I'm angry at. It's sin that I'm angry at. And I know that the power of Jesus Christ is able to break every bond and every fetter and every chain that holds them. Today, I was reading in Matthew 27, and just an incredible thought came to my mind as I was reading about Jesus standing before Pontius Pilate, being accused, and now knowing that the cross is out there, but there's an opportunity for Pilate to let him go. There's a young man by the name of Barabbas that's in prison. And Barabbas is there because he deserves to be there. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's an insurrectionist. He's created a lot of difficulty and a lot of trouble. But it was customary in those days that the governor would say to the people, "We have these two prisoners here. You can let one go free and the other is going to be crucified." And the crowd started to shout, "Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas, let Jesus be crucified." And I began to think about how Barabbas must have felt, because as he was there in that prison, obviously he could hear the sound of the mallet and the sound of the saw as the crosses were being made upon which the people were going to be crucified. And he knew that his day was coming, that it was about time for him to be crucified. And I can imagine while he's lying there in that prison that the guards come in. And as the guards start to approach him, he draws away because he knows that he's probably going to be taken to the cross. And as he gets close as he can to the wall, one of the guards reaches down and picks him up. And he says, "You know, you deserve to die. You deserve to be crucified. But I've got good news for you. Some carpenter from Nazareth just walked away with your cross." Hallelujah. Jesus died for the sinner. Jesus died for everyone that's out there in sin. And what we have to do is to share with them the great news of Jesus Christ. I believe that we are on the brink of a great revival, a mighty breakthrough. But it's going to take laborers into the harvest. It's going to take you. It's going to take others who are willing to go and to serve. And here's what I want to ask. I don't know. I can't see all the way back in the congregation, but I want to see the hand of every minister, every pastor. You're a pastor or an associate pastor, or you are a worker in your local church. Would you just hold up your hand? I want you to stand to your feet, if you will, right where you are. Just stand up right where you are. Just stand up. Every worker in your local church, especially if you work with young people, I want you to stand up. I want those of you that are around these to just stand up and lay your hands on them right now, because I want God to lay his hand on them to become anointed to reach the young people in their church. Would you reach out for and lay hands on them? And then we're going to pray again together. Father, in the name of your son Jesus, I pray that you would anoint every one of these, that you would give them a special anointing to be used of you. God, that your grace would be sufficient for all of their needs, that you would help them, God, to be able to minister. Help them to be able to minister to the people in their congregations and wherever they serve. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us in the ways that you would have us to go, that we will not fail you. We will not fail to follow in your footsteps, Lord. And I pray now in the name of Jesus that you would anoint. Now, I want the whole congregation to stand with me, if you will. Everybody here, stand. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, this is a prayer meeting, and you're able to look into our hearts, and you know what we're feeling, and you know the sense that we have of the pressure of the burden that you've placed upon us to reach out to the young people of New York City and to the young people around this world. And God, those who are watching by the internet in their cities, I pray that they would experience the same kind of passion for the lost that we can realize, God, that you did not call us to be keepers of the aquarium, but you called us to become fishers of men. You called us to reach out to those who are outside of the body of Christ. It's not enough, Lord, for us just to be comfortable with what we've got and what you've given us. But now, Lord, we pray that you would anoint us and give us a power of the Holy Spirit to be able to reach into the dark places of the world. God, to be able to reach into the dark corners of this earth. Where there is pain, let there be healing. Where there is death, let there be life. Where there is hopelessness, let there be hope. And God, where these young people are feeling a sense of no life, nothing to live for, a sense of death, God, I pray that you would breathe life into their spirit. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now lift up your hands and let's give glory. Glory and honor to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Pastor, go ahead. Praise God. I've been in ministry for a long, long time, and I've never in my life seen a man or a woman to carry a burden like this man carries for this city. Never in my life. And I don't know what God has in mind. None of us do. But I'm going to tell you that God will honor a shepherd who loves his people. God will honor it. And when I think about Pastor Teresa, Vicki and I were able to go to Summit a few days ago and speak to the young people that are there and the ministry that Pastor Teresa is doing and the sacrifice that she's making. It's just an incredible thing. And I am so honored that God has given Vicki and me just an opportunity to be associated with Times Square. But what I want you to do now, and I just feel led of the Lord to do this, I want the elders and the pastors to come and lay hands on Pastor Carter. And I want you just to lift your hands this way. And let's pray for God's anointing. God, strengthen him and give him power. Lord, where he's weak, I pray that you would make him strong. God, when there are those moments that he wonders why he's taken the step, I pray that you would give him courage, God, to know that there are many thousands of souls that are going to be in the kingdom of God because of the decisions that he's made. I pray that you would give him courage, God. Keep him from the enemy, Lord. Protect him from any damage. Keep him from the enemy, God. Devil, you keep your hand off of this man. He belongs to God, and he's going to follow you wherever you lead him, God. And I pray, God, that you would bless Pastor Teresa and give her special anointing as she ministers to the students at Summit. And God, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, let us be willing to follow wherever you lead us, God, and to follow after the shepherd that you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's praise the Lord and give him glory, give him honor. Lord, we worship you, we adore you, we praise you, God. We bless you in Jesus' name. Bless you.
Hallelujah. Father, I pray as Moses once did. Would be to God that the Holy Spirit would come upon all of God's people. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to fill us with your Spirit, Lord. I'm just so sorry for what your church has done to this generation by hiding you, Lord, and hiding your power and walking in the thoughts and plans of men, and it's been so powerless. But, oh God, you're still God. Nothing has changed about you, Lord. We try to change you, but you don't change. And we've tried to modify you and made a mess. But, oh God, I ask in Jesus' name that one more time, Lord, one more time for the glory of Jesus, that you send your Holy Spirit. One more time, oh God. One more time, Lord, you fill your house with praying people. One more time. One more time, you send a wave of mercy and cover our streets and cover our city and cover your house. One more time, Lord. Truly, the weak can say, I am strong, and the poor can say, I am rich. And it won't be just a song. It will be so true. I ask you, Lord, for the privilege of standing in the streets of New York and just laughing because you've been so good. You've been so wonderful, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to do something that will shock the world. This world that thinks it can be God without God and ultimately will pursue its own destruction. But just for a moment, Lord, just for a moment, God, for a heartbeat of this perishing planet, that you would send, oh God, the glory of your Son around this world. You would touch this city, oh God, in such a profound way that it would create a hunger in people's hearts. Other churches, other countries, there'd be a hunger coming to people's hearts. And Lord, we don't have a boast. We have nothing to present to you, Lord. What are we going to say, Lord? We have nothing, Lord, but a heart that says, Lord, we want to love you. We want to honor you, Lord. And we can't do it without you, Lord. There's no hope. There's no possibility of this without your Holy Spirit. There's no program. There's no budget. There's no fancy preaching. There's nothing, Lord, that we can do. Lord, you have to come. You have to breathe on the slain again. You have to call Lazarus out of the grave one more time. You have to give sight to the poor blind people on the side of the road one more time. You've got to touch the leper one more time. One more time, Jesus. Lord, I only pray for the glory of your name. There's no other reason, Lord. It's for the glory of your name. It's because you're God and you deserve to be praised. Hallelujah. I pray for a baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I pray it unapologetically. I pray it with faith. God, fill the young people in this house, for they need an encounter with you, Lord. You met me in a farmhouse kitchen. I didn't expect it to happen. You met me sovereignly and laid me on my face and caused me to tremble because of your power. You changed my life forever. And I'm asking you, Lord, that what you did for me, God, do it for the young people in this house. Do it for every man. Do it for every woman who wants to live for you, Lord, who is sincere in their pursuit of you, who wants to make a difference in this generation. Fill everyone from the crown of their heads to the soles of our feet with your Holy Spirit. God, there's no other plan. There's no other power. There's nothing else that will make a difference but your Spirit gripping a people called your church, giving us the power to wade into the marketplace with the glory of the risen Christ in our soul. There is no other plan. And forgive us for the ignorance of trying to create another plan. There is no other plan. God, fill these people tonight. I'm asking it in Jesus' name. Fill us, Lord, to fullness. Fill us to overflowing. Fill us till we can't contain it. Fill us, Lord, till we're compelled to speak. Fill us, Lord, so we can understand your word. Fill us so we can walk out of weakness and into the strength of our God. Fill us, Lord, so the gift of the Holy Spirit may abound in us. In the name of Jesus, this is our inheritance, Lord. I believe that with all my heart, and I praise you, mighty God. We're going to sing a song. We're going to worship just for a moment. Greg will lead us. And as he does, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands to God. And if he gives you the evidence of speaking with other tongues, do so. Unashamedly. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Let the mockers mock. Let the academics get lost in their learning. I will walk in the power of God and believe God for the freedom he will bring. Lift your hands to the Lord, please, and join in the song and ask the Lord to fill you. Ask him to fill you. Ask him as I once did. Ask him to fill you, and don't be ashamed to let him do it. Hallelujah. God, thank you, Lord, for this tonight. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you that you have commissioned us to reach this generation. We accept that commission, and we thank you for it, Lord, with all our heart. And God, you're going to do that. You're going to keep us. You're going to give us strength. You're going to guide us. You're going to empower us. You're going to be our wisdom. You're going to be our righteousness. You're going to be our ability to walk holy. Everything, Lord, is going to come from your hand. Lord, we thank you for the fire of the Holy Spirit alive in our soul. Thank you, God Almighty, that there are certain moments in history where you commission a people to do something that can only be done by your hand. Thank you for choosing to put your hand inside of us as your body. And Lord, reach out through us and bless through us and speak through us, God. Lord, we give you the glory. We will not touch the glory, for we know what we are without you, Lord. But God, we also know who we are because of you. But we give you the glory for every soul we win, every sermon we preach, every person that we lay hands on and is healed, every devil that is cast out, we give you the glory. Every door that opens, we give you the glory. All fruit that is born, we give you the glory. For you alone are worthy to be praised. It is you alone deserving of glory. Now, Father, I thank you so much, God, for the sincerity of this congregation and those that are visiting and those that are listening online. I thank you, Lord, that you have a people in the earth who are serious about the commission of Christ. God Almighty, give us grace and power. And Lord, I do ask again that we would dance in the streets of this city. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Would you give him a shout of glory in this house tonight? Another song. Hallelujah. Give him another shout of glory in this house tonight. He's worthy of our praise.